Got home about half an hour ago. Have to head back on the road for another 5 days. In 4 hours. It's my unconventional life. Rushing.
I went to the woods because I wanted to live deliberately. To front only the essential facts of life. And see if I could not learn what it had to teach. And not when I came to die, discover that I had not lived. My name is Nigel McGuinness, and this is My Unconventional Life. It's a podcast, it's a journal, and in a way, it is kind of a personal ad. But most of all, it's about navigating the treacherous waters of love, sex, and relationships in 2017. Sponsored by absolutely no one. Every week, I detail my own journey and discuss my own untraditional views and aspirations in that world. Whatever the topic, whoever the guest, it all comes back to one question. How do we best find and express love in 2017? Okay, let's get down to brass tacks. I just got back from my trip to Japan to visit Eri's family and go to her brother's wedding. It was a busy, varied, thoroughly enjoyable time. I got to go to a hot spring spa, which was quite an experience. Seeing so much pubic bush and so little accompanying penis was surprisingly not a big deal. I got to eat a ton of different Japanese food. Sushi at 8 o'clock in the morning, next to a passed out drunk guy who'd been there from the night before, but the staff were too polite to ask him to leave. Yakiniku, shabu shabu, hairy crab. Sounds like some kinds of sexually transmitted diseases. And Eri really seemed happy to be in her native country too. And we talked about visiting again with our kids. The trip started kind of unusually when we flew in on separate flights because of when we'd booked them. I slept for most of my flight and then watched a movie before we landed called Coming Through the Rye. It's a coming-of-age story about a young boarding school student who goes in search of J.D. Salinger with a potential girlfriend. And it reminded me what it's like to be young. The deep felt passions, the confusions, the adventure and freedom with your entire life ahead of you. And it made me feel so old. It made my heart ache to be that age again. And then it made me think of when my son or daughter will be that age and them going into the world. But it also made me think about opening up. Because only when you're truly free to live your life how you want, can you feel that true sense of freedom. For me, as you know, that's being non-monogamous. And I can hide the fact. But the truth is always going to come out. And if I look back at my life, it always did. It took many years sometimes, and I wasted a lot of time, other people's as well as my own, hiding that notion of who I truly was, because for a lot of the time, I didn't really even understand it myself. But last year, I really felt like I'd figured it out. I'm finding again, however, sometimes it's hard to maintain, to love freely and let others do the same. But I think it truly is one of the gifts that I can give my children, to show how you can love openly and honestly. It's just going to be a very hard conversation and even harder transition if and when Eri and I finally make it. Like I said though, eventually something will have to change. I just hope Eri understands and doesn't get hurt and think it's just about wanting to fuck people, which seems to be how she feels now. You know, you'd think it would be an easy thing to say I want to parent as we agreed in our parenting partnership agreement. I have to keep telling myself I'm not a bad person for feeling this way. I really feel the distance from my poly friends right now because I've hardly seen them or talked to them in months. But listen, the truth will set you free, right? And I found that to go along with these pangs of inauthenticity, the love that I feel for Eri, on a non-sexual, enduring level, grows stronger by the week. And for some people that may seem counterintuitive. How can I love someone more and want to be with other people sexually more at the same time? I think because perhaps that's our nature. I also read a lot of my friend's book, A Field Guide to Losing Your Friends, before the flight. I interviewed Tyler on here in one of the earlier episodes, and he was always a philosophical wanderer and kind, interesting friend. His books about his travels and the people he met on the journeys and the accompanying heartache, introspection and thoughts. Reading it is like meditating, being present but separate from your body and your troubles for the time that you read it at least. And once again, I was reminded of that Arabic notion of maktab, that everything is already written. It doesn't make life any less exciting, scary or passionate. It just means that you can let it go. Well, you should be able to. If you wanted to pick up a copy of the book, you can go to his website, Tyler Dunning, TylerDunning, TylerDunning.com, or follow him on Twitter at Between Stories. Be well worth your time. Eri's been having more back pain. Actually, there was a time on the trip where she couldn't walk at all because she sneezed and sort of threw her back out for a second, but she was okay after that. I mean, the reality is she's 38, she was a professional dancer for a decade and has a degenerative back condition, so it's perhaps to be expected. But we're planning on trying to have another kid too, so again, it could be something I could worry about. But again, I'm trying to just let it go and deal with life as and when it happens. There is also been having more dreams recently about me having sex with other girls. It's funny because when we first started being intimate, the idea actually turned her on, and she even suggested having a threesome with someone I was sleeping with. But that has certainly changed now, and our relationship has gone in the same way as all my others in that regard. And I'm certain it's my fault. I'm the common theme here. I'm sure it's what I do and how I act, because I seem to domesticate girls. I do all the things someone who wants to be in a lifelong monogamous relationship does, except to tell you that I don't want to be in one. It's actually the last thing I want. I wonder why all the excitement and wild sexual exploration seems to go out the window once a girl falls in love with you. Eri tells me I have good intuition and that I should listen to it. Well, my intuition tells me she's never going to be okay with me being with anyone else. Not when the kid's born, not a year later. Well, maybe in 5 or 10 years when her passion for me eventually fades and my sexuality has shriveled away anyway. Can I be any more dramatic? I don't know. Look, the bottom line is there's nothing I can do about it now anyway. Oh, it's funny. You know, I've been reading more of that Anatomy of Love book, and it seems that monogamy is really actually more of a hindrance to women. And I always thought it was women who wanted it, but really, it's men who feel more strongly that they want women to be monogamous, I think, than the other way around. I mean, women are really heavily influenced by society's mores of how they should act. And with the way society is set up, of course, that's the way they're going to feel most of the time. I mean, monogamy, according to so much of what I've read, how it seems to make sense to me, was something that restrained women's sexuality as a societal institution way more so than men's. But I guess that's because most of the time men didn't really live by it. And perhaps women didn't either. And perhaps that's the whole fucking point. I don't know. I mean, the whole idea of marriage seems to echo that notion. Now, I don't want to besmirch anyone's heartfelt desires. To each their own. We're all on our own journey, trying to find our own concoction for happiness. And Eri's brother's wedding was lovely. It was really interesting to see the differences between it and weddings I've been to in the West. It was very structured and full of respect for parents and peers. And at the reception, the family is actually sat towards the back of the room and gets their food last as a show of respect to everyone else who came there. The ceremony was cute, as is in vogue, apparently, despite the majority of the country being atheist, Shinto or Buddhist. The priest was a Christian reverend, and they sang Christian hymns, albeit in Japanese. And so, unable to read Japanese that quickly, I just sang in a Mr. Bean voice, and kept laughing at how much her brother looked like a young Japanese Dustin Hoffman. It was interesting the underlying traditional Christian notion of romance and lifelong monogamy, though. I could see all the girls in attendance yearning for that. And there were two young girls, about 4 and 6 years old, I'd guess, in a pew across from me that I could see just taking it all in. And I know Eri wants it too. in an ideal world. I mean, she told me as much in vague terms before we signed a contract, without mentioning me. And she and I have talked about getting married for practical reasons, like health insurance and tax, but I really don't agree with it. I mean, how can I make a vow of lifelong monogamy when I know it's not what I really want? As I sat there, though, looking at Eri, feeling a deep sense of love for her, looking so sweet and beautiful in her traditional kimono, I worried Eri may feel like she made a mistake having a kid with me eventually, if it doesn't work out like a traditional relationship. Well, actually, if it does work out like a traditional relationship, just not how most people hope a traditional relationship works out. It makes me think of one of the things I was looking for in a parenting partnership. That it had to be someone's plan A. Ugh, I should really talk about something else other than my relationship with Eri, eh? But I guess the reality is, there isn't that much else. I mean, look, I know this isn't the relationship I'd originally wanted. But was it inevitable, having a kid together, like everyone else told me? And how will it change once the kid is born? And I'd love to talk about something else. To talk about the theory behind non-monogamy or parenting partnerships or someone else's fucking life. But I feel a little overwhelmed right now. I mean, it would certainly be easier if I had someone else to talk to about it on here. Or if someone emailed me a question about it. Can you imagine how excited I'm going to be if someone ever does? MyUnconventionalLife2016@gmail.com Not a fucking chance. Actually, there's been a significant drop-off in listeners over the last couple of weeks. I don't think it's because it's shorter. I think it's just because I sound like such a passive fucking bitch. It's the same thing every week. Just being honest. Look, I've said it 100 times. You know the deal. I'm not 100% my true self, and I'm unable to be so. And who wants to listen to a podcast about that? I don't know. I'm just doing my best, my friends. And I hope you will all do the same. And I'll see you next week. That's another week gone. What have I learned? And what peace have I found? Cheers for taking the time to listen to the podcast. Drop me a line at myunconventionallife2016@gmail.com if you have comments or questions. And if you like the show and know someone else who might get something out of it, tell a friend. I will be back next week with a week's worth of thoughts and emotions and hopefully some joy. But until then, wherever you are and whoever you're with, try to be kind to others, but as much to yourself. We're all fighting our own battle. Lead with love. Empty pills and sheets and masks.